is a dangerous man.
One dangerous dude. Dangerous dude.
That I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Oh, I'm bad. Amazing why.
A plan is no plan.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm a...
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
So what did you guys, let's go Leo first on this, why do you think some of the people are moving away from the larger promotions? I mean, you got a guy like James Storm who, he could get a contract literally probably at any promotion he wanted right now. I mean, there was a time when James Storm, you know, he made a couple appearances in NXT, and James Storm's been around the block. He's good enough to be, you know, on Raw. I mean, we see Bobby Roode there. And we all know their famous tag team, you know, Beer Money. But why do you think guys like James Storm, Eli Drake, Nick Aldis, why are they not going for the WWE? Why are they not going for these huge promotions?
So what I think is you're in the age now to where WWE isn't the only game in town, especially with social media, with YouTube, with all these other areas, and with us being a very generation now, where that's where we grasp all our stuff. Everything's a lot easier accessible. That, and I think they have kind of, they can be themselves, and they're not just part of the machine. You know, you have guys like EC3, who did great in Impact and TNA, comes in, he's got the look for WWE, and what's he doing on WWE?
Buried.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And so I think they see that. I think as a wrestler, you can see how other wrestlers and colleagues are treated or used, and it's like, they don't have room for me there now. Let me go somewhere else. Let me build up my star power. And then if something comes of it, that's always there. WWE's always going to be there.
Never thought of it that way. What do you think, Cody?
Very similar to what Leo said. Like, let's take the Young Bucks for an example. I mean, they never needed a machine behind them because they did it on their own. They're completely self-made, their own merchandising line. I mean, everything that they touch is literal gold, and even if they make a mistake, they turn around the next week on BTE or even live on AEW, and they poke fun at it or they make light of it. They're diehard wrestling fans. They just happen to be one of the greatest tag teams in the world today, and they've seen their buddies go there, you know, like Kevin Steen, and all the guys that they've run the indies with for years and years and years. And yeah, they may have a hot program for 6 months, but then all it takes is Vince to get a little tippy with them, and they're riding the pine and sitting in catering, and they're not doing nothing.
Yeah.
If you want to just go there and collect a paycheck, then, I mean, then you get the Zack Ryder treatment. That's all you do is when they feel like pushing you, and because the fans want to see you, they'll give you the IC title and for a day, and then you drop it to the Miz.
That was wicked, man. That was wicked. That was wicked.
Like Leo said, WWE is not the only game in town anymore. They can, you know, with the insurgence of AEW, and I mean, everybody seems to have a TV deal now, and even if you don't have a big network behind it, do what Billy Corgan did and just put it on Facebook Watch and YouTube, and people are going to tune in if they want to see it. So just got to go get your star power somewhere.
Now, you guys made a good comment just a few minutes ago when you talked about building up your star power. That's what AJ Styles did. Big star in TNA Impact. He also was in ROH for a while. Then he really became a star when he went to New Japan. That's where he became AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. But there was something else you guys talked about that I think was very pertinent. Today, Joey Ryan tweeted out. Now, I am not a huge Joey Ryan fan, as Zane probably knows, because of some of his more nefarious moves in the ring, I guess we can say. But he can go. He is a good wrestler. I've seen him go when he was in Lucha Underground. He impressed me there. But Joey Ryan has actually signed with Impact Wrestling as of today. He had been approached by WWE last summer to go to NXT, but he turned them down because he said he can make basically the same money and have creative control and do what he wanted. So now he's at Impact, and he tweeted out the fact that he's going to be at Impact. They let him be himself, which Joey is a little bit on the sleazy side, like he says. That's what MK Bandit told us that when we interviewed with him. But he gets to also do some of his indie stuff, and he does control his own image and his own product line. So he's going to make money. He's going to get a wider audience, and this is going to work out great for him. So he's building that brand that he already has, but he's really going to build up on that. So I thought it was a very nice comment when you said building up to a point. And maybe Vince and the guys there will see something from Joey and give him mega bucks down the line. But will he take it? I don't know. And one more quick thing I'll tell you about some of these guys. They are performers, and they're in this business to make money. And there's nothing wrong with making the big bucks sitting in the pines if you're going to do like a Luke Harper has done, you know, or the Ascension. Just collect that paycheck, getting in the ring every once in a while, getting your butt whooped. But sometimes somebody who is a performer that's in, quote, show business, they don't want that added pressure. They want to be able to have that little bit more creative control. And I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I've been in radio since I was in high school in 1975. I've had the opportunity a couple of times to work in some of the bigger markets. I was part of a successful morning show in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I did some work in St. Louis, Missouri. I had offers in a couple of places in Montana, in Kansas, in Kansas City. But I all turned them down because I didn't want that pressure. I wanted to find a situation where I could be very comfortable, work for good people, and still be able to do the creative process that I'm doing right now. And I think a lot of these guys see the restraints that are put on them by some big company like the WWE.
Wow, man.
Deep, that huh? Awesome. That's deep, man. I'm deep.
Goodness gracious. If I can throw in my thoughts here, Dave, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
We talk a lot about the stacked roster at Raw and SmackDown and the whole WWE as a gigantic whole. And I mean, you know, what do they do with all this talent? You know, there is so much talent at the WWE that it's almost disgusting. It's like so much wasted talent. You know, guys like Zack Ryder and people like the Ascension and Finn Balor and some of these guys, you know, they just don't do anything. A few live shows here and there, hit the road, and no television time, no push, no nothing. You know, that roster is so stacked. What do you guys think about that?
Me as an internet fan, a mark, as you could put it, you know, I'm always going to have my opinion on who they should push or what they should do and how they should do it. But I'm not in those shoes, you know. They obviously see something we don't. But you're never going to please everyone, and you have so much talent. I think what bugs me is you have so much talent, and it's always you have like five or six names at the top, and they shuffle through those in the main programs. And especially when they had that dumb wild card rule where you had pretty much the same big guys on Raw and SmackDown, you weren't able to build stars like you were when they had the first brand split in the early 2000s, and you built guys like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and Edge and Rey Mysterio, and all that stuff was very different. And so I think that's the issue there is, yes, they have so much talent. They continue to sign a lot of great talent that is great on the indies, but then they just have them there and sign. It's almost like they're just handcuffing them to have them so somebody else does it.
Yeah.
So, Leo, you mentioned several times the internet and social media. Boy, that brings me to next.
Here he goes. Subject. Here he goes. I'm telling you, he's about ready to explode. Gosh. Go for it, Zane.
Okay. Gosh, damn it. let me just say that the Facebook comments and shit on the WWE website and the AEW site, I am so sick and tired of reading and the disrespectful fans. So I'll tell you guys a quick story. So a couple weeks ago, Moxley was doing a small interview. I don't know if it was for a podcast or I don't know what it was for. But somebody asked Moxley about Renee. They said, "What is Renee going to come to AEW?" You know, Moxley says, "You're going to have to ask her that." And Hell's Bells, the comments section was just absolutely full of, "Renee better not come to AEW. She's horrible. She's the worst commentator WWE's ever had," you know. So I, naturally have to, interject my two cents. And I said, "Well, Michael Cole's been there for how long, and he sucks. The only good commentator they had in the last 15 years, Mauro Ranallo, they let JBL drive him out, and luckily they got him back on NXT, but this guy, and a bunch of people start, telling me how uneducated I am, and how I don't know anything, and how Renee sucks so bad as a commentator, and I'm like, guys, she's a sportscaster, she's never been a commentator before. So long story short, what the hell is with the fans for wrestling these days?
Twitter trolls. Yeah.
It's like everything else, though. Everything else. Everybody's got an opinion, and everybody thinks their opinion matters.
Mine's the only one that really does count. I know, but, I should have put this on that page because Zane texted me. He was really hot when he did that. I'm in broadcasting and I've done some sports and stuff. And if you're trying to hold a conversation on the air and describe what's going on, but somebody is in your ear telling you what to say, it is an art. It is hard to do. And she is a very good sports broadcaster. She was actually offered a job to go to ESPN right after she signed with the WWE. I think she was working TV in Toronto. So this stuff that she doesn't know what she's doing, that's a bunch of John Moxley. I'll just put it that way. It's not right. And I got a little bit upset about that because people complain about broadcasters all the time. It's not easy what they do, and I put myself in there what we do. It takes a long time to get very good at it.
I'll give Renee some credit. I watched that that first premiere of that new FS1 show, WWE Backstage.
Uh-huh.
And she did a killer job. She's definitely got to be the lead person on that. Now, who they get to fill in the other roles, it doesn't really matter to me because, she does a killer job. That is her background. She's a sportscaster. She's a sports center type caster. Mm-hmm. That's what she needs to be doing. She doesn't know enough about wrestling to sit there and call holds and call rest spots and stuff like that. Save that for the Jim Rosses and the Tony Schiavone's that have been doing it for 30 years. I mean, Renee is what she's there for. She is eye candy. She is nice to look at, and she knows how to talk.
Yeah.
So let her do that. Get her off TV. So, I wasn't a big fan of her, but yeah.
Cody, tell me what your thoughts are on the fans. Like, you know, you can look at this. Any WWE post on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and there's 2,700 fans commenting on how crappy the WWE product is and how they quit watching WWE 10 years ago. And it's like, then why are you following the WWE on Facebook if you don't watch it? You know, what? I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I find myself anymore just like, I just gotta move on. I gotta scroll past.
Yeah, especially with Facebook in general, with their groups that they set up. I had joined a group that was supposed to be all about All Elite Wrestling, right? And what I would get sick of seeing is not only that, but the negativity. Then you'd have the WWE trolls come on there and say, oh, I'm never going to watch AEW. It's stupid. It's just a t-shirt company, blah, blah, blah. And then you'd have the diehard AEW fans. At this point, they haven't even put a TV show on. This was in between. They haven't even put All Out yet. And people are saying, well, when's AEW going to come out with a video game? When's AEW going to – who's going to be the first inducted to the AEW Hall of Fame? I'm like,
what?
Good Lord, people. Like, stop, you know. And then we've had backlash on our social media pages at stuff that we have posted, and just the negativity that goes on there. And I'm sure Leo is going to tell the story of his Twitter rant that went down, and we officially blocked our first person from our Unpro Wrestle Pod pages. But I'll let Leo tell that story because it was pretty comical. Because same thing, Leo got pretty heated, and it was basically like, F this guy, and, you know.
Yeah,
so
tell us the story, Leo. I can't wait.
So I post a lot of memes online, and it's stuff that makes me laugh. So, like, they do something funny or something that I think doesn't make sense, I'll poke fun at it. I'm not being hateful or anything like that, but I think it's funny. You know, I did one. The one I'm proud of is one that RVD reposted for the Raw Reunion show. And I put on there a picture of RVD at the Raw Reunion. And it says, when you get so high that you show up on Raw instead of Impact. And he put that back out. But there was one that was Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. And it's when they're both sitting up laughing at each other. Uh-huh. And somebody else made this, but I reposted it. And it was... Brock Lesnar saying, can you believe they pay me this much to show up, you know, certain dates a year? And then it shows Undertaker laughing, and it says, can you believe they still let me wrestle? And it was after the Goldberg match.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and this guy got on there and starts telling me, like, cussing, and you're an idiot if you don't think Undertaker this, this, and that, and starts going at me that I don't know anything about Reddit. It's like, dude, it's a meme. Like, calm down. Like, it's funny. You know what I mean? I have nothing but respect for the Undertaker, but some of these people, it's like their job. Like, they get on there, and like I tell you, they think their opinion matters. And you know, if it's something you don't like, just unfollow it or scroll.
Ignore it. Oh,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a. If I can share a story, Dave, real quick.
Go ahead.
We had met. We weren't. I would say we were more acquaintances, and he knew that I was a wrestling fan, and he contacted me on Facebook and said, hey, do you want to be a guest? So I met Dave at his studio when I was living in Cache Valley at the time, and Dave said, my gosh, he said, you did a great job. He said, you weren't even, you know, Dave was really good to me, really nice to me, and paid me a lot of compliments, and he asked me to come on as a co-host. And I was like, oh, cool. So shortly after I came on as a co-host was when the whole Hogan thing went down. And, you know, the video. And I had said, you know, look, whatever Hogan does behind closed doors and stuff, that's his business. I don't care what he does. All I care about is, you know, the Hulk Hogan that I used to watch as a kid, the guy that used to come out and flex 24-inch pythons and rip his shirt off and And oh my god!
Yes.
We had to block a fan too because he told me how racist I was and how terrible of a human being
it was.
I was
unreal.
I was like a racist. I just like Hulk Hogan. I don't care what he does. I like the inner. I don't know Terry Bollea. I don't have any idea who he is, but Hulk Hogan, you know, he's a childhood hero.
And Terry probably, you know, could be a scum of the earth. I don't care. I still like Hulk Hogan. That's all we were trying to say.
Exactly. So I want to say, kind of along the same area, you know, that was getting a lot of backlash. Maybe you guys follow AEW a lot closer than I do. So Luchasaurus was injured last week, and so a young fellow who's gotten pretty popular on the indies, Marco Stunt, stepped in and tagged and caught a lot of negative backlash, and Chris Jericho had to come to his rescue. Do you recall this, Leo?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know anything about this?
And so, like, where I'm at is, yeah, I get where people are coming from. Like, if you tune in to see wrestling, you might not be used to. So the typical wrestler now is a lot smaller than they used to be, and Marco Stunt is even smaller than that.
Yeah, he's barely above the little people. Yeah, yeah.
But
my
13-year-old
son's bigger than him.
Yeah.
The way they portrayed it though was realistic. So if they, you know, have him come in, and yeah, he's the underdog. He got some offense in, but he was still the underdog. You know what I mean? They didn't try to portray him as something else.
Right.
And so the way he was portrayed, I thought was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should be rocketed to the top or anything like that. And as long as he, you know, stays in that realm, I think he's fine. He sells great. I think he's a good talent in the ring. But yeah, you put him up against big guys, and it's kind of like when you had Rey Mysterio against Kevin Nash in WCW. There's no way Rey Mysterio is going to win. Like, it was kind of, you know, humiliating for Rey, in my opinion, back then. And so as long as you keep it, I think, realistic and in small doses, I don't think it's a big deal. If the guy can perform and he's entertaining and that crowd likes him, because that's who they're pandering to, that crowd.
More power to him, right?
Yeah, and that's what AEW said since the start, is that they were going to listen to the wrestling fans. Well, you know, they knew that if they announced that Luchasaurus was going to be out with an injury, which is realistically what happened, and they would have said, well, due to injury, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus can't be in the tag tournament, everybody would have probably been then ticked off that they're like, well, why didn't they just put Marco Stunt in? He's part of that little faction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they did exactly what they knew their fan base would want, was put Marco Stunt out there. Yeah, everybody knew the minute they walked out, Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt, they're done, because they're going up against the hottest tag team in the world right now, the Lucha Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, guys. I was just going to say, on that same show, when you mentioned the Lucha Brothers, they attacked SoCal Uncensored, and there was a move, a package pile driver from Pentagon onto Christopher Daniels, and he was actually injured. They threw up the cross on that. If you watch the video of that, you actually hear Christopher Daniels say, "I can't feel my arms," and that's when the referee threw up the X. They did tonight announce that he has a pinched nerve and he is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Now, Christopher Daniels is probably very close to the end of his career. I have really enjoyed his work throughout the years. I've talked about it before. I saw a match in Impact with him and Samoa Joe. I thought Joe had literally killed this guy. That's how good that thing was. But things do happen in the ring. That's one of the things that when I talk to the people that say, oh, it's so fake. No. Predetermined, not fake. These guys get hit. They get hurt. I mean, ask Marcus Alexander Bagwell, who broke his neck in the ring. Ask Stone Cold Steve Austin, who broke his neck in the ring. Ask Triple H, who had that pec muscle completely tear off his arm, not once, but twice in the ring. These guys can get hurt. I call it an art of professional wrestling, and that's what I look at it as, a performance art that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Very yeah, much.
I mean, added the responsibility, well, you have like a combat sport where you're all in it for yourself. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? You're trying to win. You're trying to beat this guy. In wrestling, you have to protect the other performer.
Exactly.
And some of these moves that you do, like, you have to know how to hit it, know how to get hit in order to, you know, keep your careers going.
Yeah. You know, and I recently on the Busted Open pod radio show on Sirius Satellite Radio, Bully Ray was talking to Jake Hagar, who's got a match coming up Saturday for Bellator, and he asked Jake, he says, you know, what's the difference between, you know, wrestling and MMA? And he said, honestly, he said, MMA is easier. He said, he knows what he needs to do, you know, when he steps into the cage. He knows that, you know, he's got to put the other guy down. Mm-hmm. He says, whereas wrestling, you know, he says, you have to work with the other guy, and you have to make sure that nobody gets hurt. And mm-hmm. But I thought that was really interesting because, you know, you get all these people saying, oh, how fake it is, and how the UFC is better, and how this is better. And here is a guy that's done both, and he says that the MMA is easier than professional wrestling. I thought that was really interesting.
And I don't know, guys, if you've heard, but Lucha star L.A. Park, or La Park, or whatever you want to call him, severely injured by doing a dive out of the ring ropes, and he didn't get caught right. I looked at the video, and I thought it was the other performer's fault, not his. He fell. He has severely injured himself. His career, to me, is probably over. And you'll probably remember he was the one that Bill Goldberg did the spear on and blew out his knee on Monday Night Nitro back in the day. And then PCO did one of those dives. There was nobody on that side of the ring when he did the dive. And he went straight onto the floor, and he was injured. So you've really got to watch, and if you watch really closely, you can sometimes see where a guy gives up his body to protect the performer who might get hurt worse. And Kevin Nash did that once, and I think it was Rey Mysterio. Rey was going to do his jump over the rope, and Kevin was too far back, and I literally saw him run so he could catch Rey so he wouldn't get injured. I was very impressed that he would give up his body like that. That was really cool.
I've pretty much said everything that's been on my mind. Why don't we turn the last little bit over to the boys from UPW. Tell us anything that's on your minds. Give us where we can find the UPW podcast. Let's have the Turnbuckle Trash fans also give UPW a listen.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So on Facebook, it's just the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, same as on Twitter. And we usually siphon a lot of our stuff through Instagram, and that's at Unpro Wrestle Pod. And then as far as where you can listen to our podcast, it's on iTunes, on Anchor, Google Pod, Spotify, and that's under Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. We do try to put out an episode every Friday, but our schedules are weird right now, Cody's and I. So, but that is what we try to do. Every Friday we put out an episode. Sometimes it's just me and Cody BSing. Other times we have had guests. Recently you guys mentioned two of the guys that we've had on. So we had Marty the Moth on, and we had Manny Lemons recently too. Mm. So. We do have some planned guests for here in the near future. So, give us a listen. We appreciate you guys having us on. It feels really great talking with other wrestling fans in depth about wrestling.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I think Leo gets sick of talking to me. So, every once in a while. Like, we blow each other's phones up pretty good. Like, if we shared just our text message exchange, which we have on occasion, but some of the stuff we say, I mean, a lot of it cannot shouldn't be repeated. We tend to float a lot of crap back and forth at each other. The term mark is a term of endearment.
Yeah, I agree.
Embrace your markdom.
And one thing that Dave and I have always tried to emphasize on the podcast, and, you know, it's not necessarily about, you know, the guests and the numbers. Of course, that stuff's great too, but I think what matters the most, and what Dave and I try to have try to do, and it sounds like what you guys try to do, is have fun. Have fun with it, and realize that we're not going to take the internet by storm. You know, we're not going to have 50,000 listeners overnight. We're probably not going to get Bill Goldberg as a guest tomorrow, but the most important thing is to have fun while doing it, to be entertained, exactly. Just like we are every time we turn on the television to watch whatever wrestling we're into.
It's just been so great talking to you guys. I really do appreciate it. Either one of you going to be at the Devotion show November the 2nd?
So it all depends for me on weather and work.
Uh-huh.
It's a 3-hour drive, so if the roads aren't too bad by then, I might swing by.
Oh, I hear you.
I was unable to make the last one because of different work schedule. But I do plan on me and Leo attending one of those again.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sounds like so where are you guys from? Where do you guys live?
So I'm from, I live in Burley, Idaho, and Twin Falls.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
Me
yeah,
and Leo,
you guys got quite a journey.
Yeah, we're about 30 minutes apart here in southern Idaho, and then about 3 hours from your guys' neck of the woods over there. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know,
and
I'm
two, and Dave's two, right? Dave, you're two hours.
I'm in Logan, Utah, and you're down in Manti, but that highway that goes from Burley into Tremonton, that interstate, can get really nasty during the winter, so
yes,
I understand
it,
it gets just really nasty. So
Devotion show was my first one. I thought it was great.
It's great, and they
it was fantastic. Yeah, you know, and you know, I've talked many times about how that's why I love wrestling so much is because of those reasons right there for those independent shows. You know, you get to interact with wrestlers, you get to see them work, you know, even though the moves might not be as crisp and as clean, you know, it's like these guys are out there putting their bodies on the line for our entertainment, and they might get $25 for the night, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
And that's by the way, great. Tom Chad, the pineapple clad Tom Chad, is going to be performing this weekend at Rocky Mountain Pro over in Colorado Springs. So good luck to Tom. Then one other thing from a guy you guys saw down there, the MK Bandit, who is one of the busiest mans I've ever met in my life. He is now a lifelong member of the Cauliflower Athletic Club. He posted that on the Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page today. So congratulations, MK. That's incredible.
Well, I just want to give the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast a shout out and tell you guys thank you for sticking with us through the technical difficulties, and thank you for being our guests on the show. We really, really, really enjoyed talking to you guys, and with that, I think I'm going to close out.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
I got a few things
on my mind.
It's probably the oldest of the four of us here, the guy who knows nothing about technology, that got this figured out. Old guys rule, okay. Bubs.
But my 13-year-old son's bigger than him.
I'm not sure what all happened there.
We call that in the business a cluster, if you get my drift. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's something to turn over and go, oh, really? Me?
Okay. Ooh, yeah, baby.
And sometimes less is more.
What a lucky man.
Exactly. So everything's fake to an extent. It's what you want to believe and how you want to suspend your disbelief.
Vince would break every piece of furniture in his house.
Saudi money, baby.
And then go rent more to break some more.
Because of some of his more nefarious moves in the ring.
Everybody's got an opinion, and everybody thinks their opinion matters.
Mine's the only one that really does count. I know, but...
The Team Flair versus Team Hogan.
Oh, I was hoping you'd forget that.
Well, I can't help myself. Because as soon as you hear the Firefly Funhouse,
the term Mark is a term of endearment.